bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
When I was a kid in the 70s, my parents got really into something called TM, Transcendental Meditation. I remember being about 8 years old, and they took me and my brother and sister, and they put me in a room with this woman who was the teacher, and she explained it to me, but I didn't really get it. And then she told me a mantra that I had to say over and over. Now, I didn't really know what it was. I didn't really understand. So, of course, when my mother would say, go to your room and meditate, I would just go in there and play dolls or do something else. But I thought there was something interesting in there, and I really wanted to pursue it. And then life takes over, and I'll be honest, I didn't. And now I have to say, I'm kicking myself, but luckily it's not too late. We can start transcendental meditation at any time. And I have got one of my favorite people, Norman E. Rosenthal, MD, with his fantastic new book, Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. Dr. Norman, welcome to the show. Or do you prefer Dr. Rosenthal?
Oh, thank you. Always lovely to be with you.
It has been far too long. I think you are such a gem, and you really have so much to offer. When I was reading this book, there were so many things that struck me, and I really want to start at the beginning in terms of what is, for people who don't even know what transcendental meditation, what is it?
Okay. Firstly, you should know that meditation is not like one thing. It's like exercise is not just one exercise. There are a lot of different kinds. And meditation is a way of exercising your brain in a certain fashion or relaxing your brain. And this particular form of meditation uses a word sound or a mantra. Now, you're taught how to take that mantra and think it in a special way, comfortably, and then once you've learned it, you are then able to sit down 20 minutes twice a day, think your mantra, and that's where the magic carpet trip begins. And that's the one, of course, that I've written about before in an earlier book, Transcendence, but now it really was a joy to be able to follow that story up in an even more exciting book, I'd say, called Supermind.
Yeah, I think so, too. They're both fantastic books. I think one of the things that really struck me was how TM can help you be more authentic. You know, you talk about how we all wear different hats and we have different roles. But at the center of that, at your core, there's who you truly are. And if TM can help you get in touch with that, I think that's beautiful, because I think sometimes you can get lost and like, who am I? What am I doing? And especially if you're in a role that you don't feel like it's a good fit.
You know, it's true. And really, it was the actor Hugh Jackman, who is a longtime TMer, who really brought this to the fore when we discussed it. And in fact, it's my interview with him that I feature as the sort of opening part of the authenticity thing. And it, funnily enough, you know, I was supposed to talk with him on the phone, and the phone rang, and somebody called, and that sounded like a neighbor inviting me to a barbecue. It had that kind of tone of voice, in a very down home and very down to earth. And, you know, some people, they talk about being authentic, but they don't sound very authentic. But this guy could have been asking me to come up the road to have a beer or join the barbecue or whatever. It was just that simple. And what it turns out is that, and I'm just using him as an example, but it's really prototypical sure. of a lot of people who meditate with TM. It turns out that over time, as you visit that deep part of yourself, which is what you do during the meditation, and you become more familiar with who you really are, that you feel like you are able to shed the personas that we put on in order to impress other people, or even the ones that we put on to impress ourselves. You know, we like to, I'm big enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me, you know, the way we like to pump ourselves up. But really, we are who we are. And if you can just sort of be that person, it somehow works the best, and that's what TM helps you to do, and that's part of the growth of the mind that I'm referring to in Supermind.
Yeah, and speaking of the growth of the mind, I mean, not only does it grow your mind, but it affects your health in a myriad of ways. You talk about better physical health, more efficient cognitive functioning, including creativity, improvement in many personal attributes, better interpersonal relationships. It's pretty astounding. One of the things, too, I like is that it really can help you slow down and be calm. And I'm not going to say not care as much of what people think, but you and I have something in common, Dr. Norman. We've spoken about this before. If somebody seems upset, I always assume I've done something. Even if I haven't talked to them in months, it's completely illogical. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What happened? And I want to know. And you talk about that too, of being able to let that go. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've sort of mentioned so many important things over here. But if we
yes.
start with this last thing. And
see, I need to meditate because my brain's all over the place, obviously.
I just want to
I got the monkey mind, Dr. Norman.
Apropos feeling better
yes.
health and stuff, this isn't just
yeah.
subjective. There are a lot of really hard science studies showing lower blood pressure. It's actually even been endorsed by the American Heart Association for reducing blood pressure, better cardiac outcomes, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of really solid data. As important as that is, we live in the subjective. We live in how we feel on a day-by-day basis. And let's say you and I are friends, and indeed, after all this time of talking, I certainly feel like we are. And we were, say, having lunch or something, and then I thought, well, that Lisa didn't really seem like she was happy with me. She just seemed like she was nursing some kind of grudge or something. And then I would get home. And I would think, this was pre-TM, I would think, you know, I'd better call her or email her and just check out, is everything okay? And then you'd get the email, and then you'd get really upset because you didn't want to hurt my feelings. And we'd talk, and we'd have a little drama, and then everything would be settled. But in the meanwhile, we'd all get our juices going and our adrenaline flowing and, you know, not necessary. Now I would say, you know, there are lots of people, there's lots of things that go on in a person's life. Who knows what she's dealing with? And, you know, I can let this be, and it won't go away. If I still feel the same way tomorrow, I can still call her, write the email. It's not crucial. And then, as so often happens with little things, they just seem to evaporate into the ether. They just seem to get better on their own. They go away. And that happens so much more since I've begun to meditate steadily. And it's a lovely feeling because, you know, they say don't sweat the small stuff. And I think it's good advice, but it's hard to take that advice if it's going to be bothering you. But this is a way whereby the small stuff just disappears and doesn't sweat itself.
It really is amazing how many health benefits there are. And one of the things, too, that I thought was so fascinating was how people's perception changed. You talk about a woman who works in an emergency room, and after doing TM for not even that long, twice a day, she wondered if they painted or if they changed the lights because everything seemed brighter and less daunting. Talk to us about those types of experiences that you've heard and that you've had yourself.
Yeah, that was a particularly remarkable one where within days even of meditating, you see, the fascinating thing about the growth of the supermind is, yes, I can understand during meditation itself you feel very relaxed. But the idea that this would kind of carry over and grow and build on itself, that fascinated me. And so this woman, who was an ER doctor, she found the lighting had seemed to have changed. The whole place looked brighter, and she checked, had they painted it, had they changed the lights. They hadn't done anything. All the change was coming from her. Her perception of the world shifted. And there are many people who report actually seeing things more vividly, colors brighter, smells more rich and intense. It's like you're becoming more alive because something in your brain is freeing up. Like, you know, when you're very tired, you're not going to
yes.
smell anything particularly well except the coffee probably brewing on the stove. But you're not going to notice these little things because you're just kind of struggling to stay awake. But if you're very wide awake, all of a sudden you'll notice a little bee buzzing outside the window or a hummingbird up against the flower or little things and details because you're very alert and your brain is very active and alive. That's how it feels when you meditate regularly.
Sounds fantastic. You know, I opened the show by talking about my parents and bringing me to that special teacher. And that's something that's very important. Now, I was too young and I didn't really understand what was going on. So I didn't put it into practice. But you write in your book, I should make it clear at this point that you will not learn how to practice TM from this book or any other book. Why is it so important to see a qualified teacher?
Well, you know, I think that it's like many arts, both in the West and in the East. You know, in the West, you know, you might have ballet, or you might have, you know, music. You might have to learn the scales before you can play the piano. And in the East, you might have the martial arts, or you might have some other form of discipline. And even though the elements seem easy, you know, I could say, you know, take your fingers and run them up and down the piano and music will come out. Well, it won't, you know. And so it is that, I mean, I could write down, you know, think thus and such a mantra and think it again and again, and goodness me, you'll get a super mind. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. You have to, it's a tradition that's been taught from master to student over the century. And that's kind of the way it has worked over time, and that is really what they're trying to replicate here. They've tried to maintain a tremendous integrity and purity, and that has required personal tuition. You know, I know even when I started, it took me a little while to get the hang of it, and it was the encouragement of people who are teachers and in the movement. It was there, you know, helping me persevere and learn little tricks that enabled me, so that now every time I sit down, I, in a very predictable, reproducible way, get the changes that we described that occur during meditation, and they carry on, and I continue to enjoy them after the meditation sessions are over.
You know, one of the challenges that I have found in trying to meditate is I have so many minds. I have so many things going through my mind, and I kind of feel like the whole time all I'm doing is like pushing away the thought. Talk to us about this, because you're focusing on that mantra, which I think helps, but how do you get past that feeling of, oh, you know what, I just have to be where I am, and if right now I'm having a lot of thoughts, but just keep saying the mantra, am I on the right track?
Yes. Yes, you are. And incidentally, you don't say the mantra, you think it in a certain way.
Mm.
Because when you say,
okay, yeah,
I say the mantra, it makes it seem like you're chanting something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant think it. Yes. Thank
yeah.
You.
But you know, the one thing you can't do is clear your mind. If I say clear your mind, you can't clear your mind. It's like if I said, don't think of the color red. That would be the only color you would be thinking about.
It's the only thing I see, yeah.
So the thoughts are going to come and go. And the important thing is to just let them. Let them do what they're going to do. And that has some very fascinating effects. Firstly, they may just go away of their own accord, if that may happen. But they may stay with you. And somehow, the thoughts being experienced in the presence of the very special kind of consciousness that occurs during meditation, which we call transcendental consciousness, it's almost as though it washes those thoughts and influences those thoughts. So sometimes having the thoughts be there in the presence of this altered state of consciousness or enlivened state of consciousness, however you want to call it, actually may change the thoughts in a very salutary way. And it's nothing at all unusual to find a creative idea or a new way of seeing things or an important decision emerge from this interplay between the thoughts and the transcendental consciousness.
You know, you talk in the book about cosmic consciousness, and you write something, it's gradual, it's gradual, it's gradual, and then it's sudden. Talk to us about what that means.
Yeah, well, you know, the very advanced meditators speak of something called a cosmic consciousness, and that is a state whereby you have this expanded state of consciousness all day long and through the night. Now, I don't have that. and almost nobody I've ever seen. I flag a couple of people in the book who have that kind of experience, but it's rare, and I just list it as a fascinating rarity, whereby people who have this expanded consciousness may suddenly awake to a sense that they're being experiencing this all the time. And it's a wonderful discovery, but I think what I really want to communicate to the readers is it's not necessary to have that degree of consciousness in order to benefit hugely from the process. So I know it's been transformative to me, and I've never had this 24-hour-a-day, and I probably never will, and it's fine. But just because I wanted to be comprehensive, I did include that as something that a few people have actually experienced.
Now, it's very important to do this twice a day, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. And you talk about Jerry Seinfeld, who was doing it for years just in the morning, and then Bob Roth, who is very big into TM, and he's a mutual friend, convinced him to do it twice a day. And there was some pretty remarkable changes that Jerry saw. Why is it so important to do it twice a day?
Well, you know, I mean, I would compare it to a medicine, you know, that is going to work just much better if you take it twice a day. Because, you know, and again, and this is a terrible analogy, and I'm sure many meditators would hate my using it, but let's say people have got a medicine and it lasts for 6 to 8 hours, and then it begins to fade. Well, you know, sometimes I'll meditate in the morning, and I'll get such a surge of inspiration and energy, and then by the time the mid to late afternoon comes, I'm beginning to experience that afternoon dip, you know, that nap-like feeling. And if I'll just sit down and meditate, I'll get just a whole new wave of energy that'll carry me right through till the end of the day. It's amazing. And I think that if you don't do that, then you won't know that you're going to get that extra push. You might go and have a cup of coffee. But as one of my friends said, you know, he sat down, he meditated in the afternoon, and he said, you know, I got more energy from that. That did for me what no additional cup of coffee could have done. Because, you know, gets to a point where you've saturated your caffeine receptors. You know, you've just kind of, you've done the coffee thing, or you've done whatever you can to push, push, push. And now you need to sit and let it happen. And something is going on in the brain. I don't know that anybody really knows. We do know some things that are going on in the brain, but we don't know if that's what actually makes the difference. But, you know, I'll tell you an example. I was writing this book, around about 3 o'clock I was writing, I would just get stuck. Not another word would come out. And I would sit down and meditate, and then all of a sudden, 1,000 words pour out. Something's been unblocked, something's been unlocked, and the syrup now comes pouring out of the jar. And that happens in every sphere, and I've had so many people tell me that. So the twice a day is really, really better than the once a day.
You know, a moment ago, Dr. Norman, you said something about, you know, sitting with it. And we hear a lot about potential, and people are always talking about how do you reach your potential? And it's like push, 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 push. But with meditation, you're sort of sitting and you're slowing down. And yet that act in and of itself is going to help you reach your potential. So talk to us about that, because I really think that's important.
I think we're all trying to push too hard. I think that there is this tremendous tendency to want to speed up. And what you find when you slow down is that a lot of things that you were going to rush around doing may not actually be that important. You may not need to do them at all. Or there are other ways whereby they could get done. So that's really what I think it amounts to. If you slow down in this particular way, and it's not just a matter of saying slow down your thinking or don't think so fast, or, you know, anything like that. It's a specific technique that's going to make you deep down into yourself, as they say, deep into the ocean. Everything is still. On the surface of the ocean, there can be these huge waves going up and down, but right down, it's still and calm, and you're away from all those things that that are buffeting you around, and you're able to really just settle down, and that's where you do your best thinking, your best work, your best insights all come at that particular day.
You know, I mentioned again about trying it in the 70s, but I was a kid. You tried it in the 70s when you were in medical school, and then it was, I think, what, 30-something years later, someone you work with that had bipolar said how much it helped him and urged you to try it again. And
Absolutely.
It really stuck this time.
Yeah, well, the first time round, I really didn't take it seriously, you know?
It seemed like
the
a fad,
right? The first time
round,
I just didn't take it seriously. I didn't realize how powerful and potentially transformational it really was. And this time I did, because my patient had obviously had a huge result with it. So I thought, well, you know, really give it a shot. And he kind of checked me, you know. He checked me and made sure that I was doing it, and that made all the difference.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I'm a big fan of Howard Stern, and he talks about transcendental meditation. And I've heard people say over the years how much he's changed. And I have to say, I think he's one of the best interviewers, and he really can get to the heart of things and really pull people's emotions out. I know there's controversy around him. I know not everything he does is great. But I have seen a change, and I thought that was interesting. I don't know if he's someone that you've spoken with ever. I'd just be curious about
TM,
because I know he's hugely into it.
Seen a videotape of him talking about the huge effects that it's had on him, but I haven't actually spoken with him personally. And I feel like he's done an enormous amount of good, and he's done an enormous amount for TM, because he is unabashed about endorsing it. He credits it with pretty much saving his mother's life. She was in a severe depression, and then, of course, making a huge difference in his own life. So, yeah, absolutely.
It is remarkable. You know, we only have a few minutes left, Dr. Norman. I'm curious, what is the best way to find a teacher? Would you Google TM teachers in your area? Is there
I would say TM.org. TM.org will get you the nearest teacher, and they'll be delighted. And, you know, having read the book, you'll be way ahead of knowing what it's all about. But it's not necessary to do that. And so that is the best way to go about it. And I would encourage people to do that.
Well, it might not be necessary. Sorry to interrupt, Dr. Norman. But I really think everyone should get this book, Supermind, How to Boost Performance and Live a Richer and Happier Life Through Transcendental Meditation. Now, are you trained to teach TM? Because I want you to teach me.
I'm not a TM teacher. I'm a psychiatrist and a therapist and a coach. And I refer people to TM, but I just feel like it's a separate skill set. And because there are some people who are so good at it, and I have so many other things that I do, I just find it easier to collaborate with a trained teacher.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, Dr. Norman, tell us all the ways we can find you and all the great work that you do.
Oh, sure. My website is normanrosenthal.com. And that'll give you a lot of information. And, of course, all my books can be purchased off of Amazon. So they're the two TM books, which are this one, Supermind and Transcendence. And there is the Gift of Adversity, how sometimes we get the best lessons happen when things go wrong. And, of course, Winter Blues. It's not the season right now because we're now getting into a sunny time. But that's another one of my books that people enjoy. So please visit me on my website, come say hello, check me out on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Dr. Norman, D-O-C-T-O-R Norman, or my Facebook, Norman Rosenthal. So very good. I'm so happy to be on your show. I always love talking with you.
Oh, I always love having you on the show. I was going to say, I want to have you on soon to talk about The Gift of Adversity. That book is phenomenal, and I just am so, so thrilled you were able to come on today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy today. I really encourage you to check this out. I think this book has finally pushed me over the hump. I'm going to try. I'm not going to let my monkey mind stop me. I'm going to just sit with what is happening, and I advise us all to do that. Thanks again for listening. check us out at Talk Healthy2 Day on Twitter and also on Instagram. Have a great day and stay well.